Well, thank you, Dean and Church leadership, for the opportunity to come and share the service with you guys. And I think it's great when Mother and Sunday we can be together and we can celebrate mums and celebrate all that they do in our lives. And I just want to look at this story that Maureen's told that we saw in cartoon form, just to bring out one or two thoughts that struck me as I considered the story that you'll find in Luke's Gospel. And I remember a very special day. The day, I hope I've got this right, was the 8th of December 1972. 5th of December 1972. I knew I'd be close, there or thereabouts. And in case you're wondering what happened on the 5th of December 1972, that was the day that our firstborn came into the world. That was Paul, and we followed up with another three after that. All very special days, all amazing. And when you get a newborn baby, you get no instructions on how to deal with them, or how to look after them, or how to manage them. And you sort of go and take a bit of a chance that you are getting it right. We have sought to inquire from our children how we did. I'm not sure how many points they've awarded us, actually. But they haven't turned out too bad, thankfully. But I can remember when Maureen came home with Paul. Maureen was actually not all that well. It had been quite a difficult birth, and therefore I was given the responsibility of looking after both of them. Have you any idea how difficult it is to stick a nappy onto a squirming little bit of flesh? For the sake of the recording, the word that was commented then from Sam was that Maureen should have kept still. But coming back to the subject in hand, Paul was just 8 pounds, and this nappy, now it wasn't sort of nappies you have in modern days now. It was basically half a blanket, really, and you had to somehow or other fold this thing up. And then the number of pinpricks there were in my finger to protect the baby as you try to sort of pin the thing on. I think it'd been better with super glue, personally, but there you go. And that was sort of part of my experience as a dad. And as time goes on, you come into new stages and new phases, as Claire and Akwesi will discover. Teenage years will begin to approach, and a whole new series of problems begin to envelop. And so I would imagine for Joseph and for Mary, a lot of the experiences that we as parents have, they would have had as well. Because Jesus was born as a human child. Yes, he was Emmanuel, God with us, but he was very human. And so for Mary and Joseph, they would have gone through all the experiences of the food development side of bringing babies into a position where they're able to eat for themselves. And again, I can remember with some sort of vivid identity seeing our children with bowls of food in front of them and hands going in and smarmed all over the face and dropping down the front. I tried to avoid all of that. I couldn't, said it was mother's duties to sort that out. And all of that sort of thing they would have experienced. But as the children grow up, so new things arise. And for Mary and for Joseph, it comes to the point, he's 12, they're off to the temple. It's a special time. It's a time of recognition of Jesus entering to manhood. And so they go there, and it's a great time of celebration. And then, as we heard in the story, they head off back, and Jesus isn't with them. And one of the things that crossed my mind is, why was it that that happened, and what did they need to do to rediscover him? The first thing that we read in the Bible is it says that they assumed that Jesus was with him. See, they had their plans in place. They had their own program. They'd gone off and they'd enjoyed all that they'd enjoyed, and Jesus was there engaged in all of that. But there came a moment in time when they made an assumption, which was that Jesus was going with them where they were heading off to. And one of the lessons that I've learned over my life is that there are times when I have assumed that the presence of Jesus is going with me into situations, into circumstances that I'm heading towards, and in actual fact he's not, because he has a different agenda. And it's very important for you and for me to know that there is that sense in which Jesus has said he would never leave us or forsake us. That's absolutely true. But there's also a sense in which we have to understand that there can be times in our lives when we sit down and we say, this is the way I'm going to live my life. This is the things that I'm going to do. These are the plans I have in place. This is the direction I'm going to go in. We don't pray about it. We don't ask God about it. We just have it set down in our minds and we head off in that direction and we almost say, okay, Jesus, this is my agenda, you come and join me with it. And suddenly we discover that we've lost a sense of the presence of Jesus. Suddenly we discover that we're no longer in the center of his purpose and plan. Suddenly we discover that we're no longer in that place where his will is paramount in our lives. And so for Mary and for Joseph, they came to a point where they understood, hold on a minute, Jesus hasn't come with us. Jesus isn't there. Where is he? And when they found that he wasn't with them, they then had a choice to make. Do we continue in life without him? Or do we actually rediscover him? You see, there is that understanding we all have that although God offers us the opportunity to come into relationship with him through faith in Jesus, we have a personal choice as to what we do with that. We can live life without Jesus if we want to. It's entirely down to us. Or alternatively, we can say, no, we want our lives to be integrated with the life of Jesus, to know his presence, to know his power, to know his transformation at work within our lives. If we're going to do that, then what we have to do is we have to discover him. And so for Mary and Joseph, they came to that point, Jesus is missing, what do we do? What they needed to do was they needed to take a pathway that would lead them back to where they had lost him. They had to retrace their steps. Let me say to some of you that if you are in that place where somehow or other that intimacy with Jesus is gone, that sense of his presence is no longer there, that understanding of his power is no longer impacting your life, where somehow or other you just are aware that it's just not how it used to be, you need to ask God whether there is a step that you need to take and a place you need to go back to where suddenly that break took place and that intimacy and that relationship was no longer as it once was. And so for Mary and Joseph, it would have taken time. It would have taken energy. It would have taken effort. It would have taken all sorts of challenges to return to the point where they last knew and understood that the presence of Jesus was with them. And that, in the Bible terms, often is referred to as repentance. Repentance is a word that means that you're going in one direction, but you suddenly realize it's the opposite direction to where God wants you to go. And so you turn around and you go in the direction back to the point where you can discover him. Our pathways are important in life. Those of us who are mums and dads, we have set in place pathways for our children. Whether you like it or not, you are giving them direction for life. You are giving them lessons for life. By your lives, you are revealing to them what is important to you, the things that are of great value to you. You are putting that and sowing that into the life of your children. And so when you take a path, then you need to understand that your children will follow that path. That's why we are so committed to the concept as a church that the family is important. Everybody, whatever age, is important because the family is important to Father God. So Mary and Joseph return to the point where they lost the presence of Jesus. If you've never known the presence of Jesus, go to the point where you'll find him again. Go to the point where he is. Now when they get back to Jerusalem and they discover him, we see that they come to understand a priority that Jesus had that they didn't. Maureen pointed out that when they arrive and discover Jesus in the temple, the Bible tells us it's actually Mary says this. Mary says to Jesus, "How could you treat us like this? Me and your father, we were really concerned about you." And it's to that statement that Jesus replies with these words, "Didn't you know I should be in my father's house?" And it also means, "Didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business?" You see, the priorities you set in life will determine what you consider that you're willing to give your time to. The greater amount of time you spend in something reveals the greater priority it has in your life. The more that you are committed to something, the more value it has to you as an individual. And for Jesus, Jesus gives this declaration, which is such a challenge, I believe, to every one of us, particularly those who are followers of Jesus. He says, "Didn't you realize I should be about my father's business in my father's house?" Is the father's house, which in these days and in our terminology, the church, is it of the greatest value to you? Is it of the utmost importance? Are the things that you do committed to being involved in and serving in and honouring God through his church? The second thing is God himself of great importance to you? Is his business, his priorities, his plans, his purposes, are they at the forefront of your mind and your attention and your energy? Only you as an individual can answer that. But let me say to you this. It is very easy for us to lose sight of what it means to be about the Father's business and be in the Father's house. And there are very commendable things that can detract away from that, take us away from that, lead us in other directions. But when that happens, then we need to really recognize that we have lowered the priority that Jesus sets as regards to the purpose and the plan for your and my life. The other thing that we see here is that Jesus emphasized, and again Maureen drew it out, Mary says, "Don't you realize that I and your father were really concerned about you?" And Jesus says, "Hold on a second, I recognize who my father is. My father is the heavenly father. And although Joseph had an important part to play in Jesus' life, and let's not underestimate that, Jesus understood the relationship he had with God. And when we come to follow Jesus, that's the relationship you and I have. We can call God Father. Do you know his fatherhood? Do you know that sense that you are a child of his? Because that is the reality when you come to the place of receiving Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus from that moment on went off back to his home, and there he grew up with Mary and with Joseph, however long Joseph was part of the family. There's a question mark over what happened as far as Joseph is concerned. Some think that he died quite young and left Mary as a widow. But Jesus was there until the moment came when he was to launch his ministry, which was only for 3 years. But within 3 years, Jesus had established something that was to transform the world. And a message that is still declared today, that he is the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You see, he understood that God had a plan for him. And I want to say to every one of you, God has a plan for your life. A plan for your life which involves you in knowing and experiencing the presence of Jesus. But in entering into that plan, the important thing to remember, which Mary and Joseph had to learn and understand, was first of all, that your plans and his plans will not always run parallel. There are times when your plans and his plans will diverge away. And that's where you have to make decisions. Either you're going to stay in tune and in connection with Jesus and his plans, or you're going to go and forge your own. The second thing is that if there comes a point in your life where you think, I really am losing a sense of the presence of Jesus, I really want to be in that place where there's that intimacy and that connection again, you need to ask God to show you, where did it happen? Where did something take place that brought that split, that brought that sense in which I lost something that I'm longing to have renewed again? And return to where that was. And once again, reconnect. See, I do quite a bit on computer. I quite enjoy technology. I know some don't, but I really do quite like technology. And it gets really frustrating when I lose my connection. Oh, it drives me mad. And, I want to do stuff, but there's no connection there. It's gone down. I don't want it down, I want it up. Or it goes slow. I'm so glad we can never lose our connection with heaven through Jesus. We never have a situation where there is a slow speed. There's always the opportunity for us to connect with heaven through Jesus and know his presence and his power at work within our lives. And so it was. They retraced their steps to discover where the presence of Jesus was. Having found that, they understood his priorities were different to theirs. And that he said to them, you need to understand that in our relationship, there is a priority that needs to be set. Now the fact is that when Jesus said to Mary, his mother, even though she didn't understand really what he was going on about when he said, didn't you realize I need to be in my father's house, about my father's business? Certainly for Mary, there was a point in her life prior to Jesus being born when she had heard an angel say to her, this is what God wants you to do with your life. And there will be a cost to that. And what she responded was, I will fit in with your priorities and with your plans. Her words were, let it be according to your word. Where are your priorities? Have you set them where the business of God and the house of God is first and foremost? If that's the case, then you will find a deeper relationship with your Heavenly Father, and you will discover that as the plans out work in your life, that you will see God using you and honouring you and blessing you as he himself is glorified through you. God bless you.